Today is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful morning to come into this sanctuary and to know that we are in sacred space and that you have been walking sacred space from the moment that you got out of bed this morning, and that all of the precious steps you have made have led you here to be together in community, and for that we rejoice. I know there are some activities occurring in the life of this church this week that we want people to know. Are there any announcements that you have? And I have a couple to share as well. Anyone have any announcements about things coming up this week? For sure, next Sunday we'll begin Vacation Bible School in the evening. And the reason we have these panels that are of an African safari is that we are using the program that is from an African perspective, and a lot of sense of animals and landscape. And there's actually one more panel that will complete this background for us as we get ready to have the children lead worship on August the 11th as they culminate with Vacation Bible School. So that is the reason for this image of a different land than what we typically see each day. And also, last Sunday we had a day of using the screen for a lot of the liturgy. Most of the liturgy that is in your bulletin is also projected up here. The purpose for that is twofold. One, attendance is typically down in the summer, so we are reducing the publication of bulletins because that's just a reality. And the other reason, which is really more important one, is as we look up, as we sing up, and as we pray up, our voices lift better. And we participate more fully from our hearts and from our feet as we look up. So it's an option. You can read from the bulletin and the hymn books, or you can be community-minded and worship with the people in the pews next to you as we speak and sing out. One more thing I want to share. You remember maybe that we participated with what we thought was going to be 30 churches for 30 days of prayer over the Memorial Day weekend. There was an invitation from the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department to join with other churches in prayer. And they had a luncheon this past week to honor not only those 30 churches, but 34 churches who for 34 days either met in their sanctuaries or wherever they happened to be to pray for the peace and nonviolence of the city of Charlotte. We were given this plaque, and we'll need to find a place to put it. It was given to us by the Deputy Chief, Estella Patterson, who also serves as a chaplain for the police department. And there is going to be another community conversation this Thursday night. August 1st is this Thursday. It is begins at 6:30 at the Queen's University on Tavola Road. So I'm going to go, and if anybody wants to go, let me know, and we'll leave here at about 6 o'clock this Thursday, August 1st, for a community conversation about prayer and support of our city police. Are any other announcements? Aiden is going to lead us as we have our responsive reading from the 85th Psalm, and I invite you to join with that now as Aiden reads and as we prepare.
We'll listen to what God the Lord will say. He promised peace to his people, his saint, but let them not return to folly.
Surely his subject is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land.
Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven.
The the Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield to its harvest.
Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps.
Went to Montreat Monday, and they sang this as their opening worship hymn, and I fell in love with it and changed it on Tuesday. So nobody told Graham that I changed it. So Charles, and you know, and Graham, I'm sorry. But we are people that come before God and confess our sins. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But let us know that as we approach the throne of grace, we are following and kneeling before a God who is quick to forgive us in God's mercy. So let us pray. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our failure to be what you created us to be. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. By your loving mercy, help us to live in your light and abide in your ways. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the sacrament of baptism, we practice the belief that as we go down into the waters, we die to sin. We are cleansed by this eternal and everlasting freshness and newness, and then we rise to new life. In that confidence of what God is able to do through us and in us, we are God's children, brothers and sisters with one another. So let us declare what we believe. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, Come, Lord Jesus. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we know of that peace and declare it with one another, we know that it also extends beyond this sanctuary and out into our community and even around the world. As we connect to our sister churches, we remember that we are together and celebrate that sense of unity. So in this time and all time, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. I'll be reading from Hosea, which can be found in your pew Bible. In Hosea, God is portrayed as the tender, troubled parent of a rebellious child, Israel. Israel has continued to be involved with the worship of Baal, which influences its economic and social life and is clearly an offense to God. The parent remembers feeding the infant and teaching the child to walk. The emotion and commitment of parental love is Hosea's analogy for describing the way God views Israel. Despite Israel's faithlessness and repeated unrepentant acts, the loving parent cannot forsake the prodigal child. Let us hear this word from the Lord. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like the one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. A word from the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would the children and the younger youth please come forward? All right, good morning. All right, so our question today has to do with something, so we're gonna talk about something else really quickly. I want to know, what do your parents, or what do the people who take care of you at home ask you to do? What do they need you to do? Yeah, Aiden?
Clean the house.
Clean the house, okay, yeah. You don't know? Do chores. Okay, that's a good one. Clean up your room. You haven't been at your house that much this summer? Well, that's fun to take vacations. But yeah, do your chores, set the table, all those sorts of things, okay? Now, what about your teachers? I know you don't want to think about it, but going back to school, what do your teachers ask you to do? What do they need from you to do? Get school supplies, okay? Okay. All right, so do your homework. Yeah, that's a good one. About listen and raise your hand, right? That's all things that they need you to do. Now, here's a question that we're... Oh, yeah, it's coming up. So here's a question that people have been asking for a very, very long time, okay? And I want you to try to tell me the answer. What does God need you to do? What does God want you to do? What do you think?
Not do anything bad.
All right, not do anything bad. That's good. That's a good answer. You don't know Silas? Okay, it's okay.
No, I know another.
Yeah.
Pray.
That's a good one.
Listen
to people, definitely.
Listen to adults.
Listen to Jesus. Listen to adults. Yeah, these are all things that God wants you to do. Exactly right. The Bible actually tells us the answer, though, and it's in Micah, and I want you to repeat after me, okay? Ready? What does the Lord require of you? It's the verse in Micah, and it says, to love kindness, and walk humbly with God, and do justice. All right, I put those in the wrong order. Yeah, what do you think that means? What does do justice mean?
What does God mean when it says?
Yeah.
Do justice.
So when you hear the word justice, what do you think of?
Beating up.
Okay, beating up people, but who specifically?
Bad guys.
Okay, bad guys, but who's doing the beating up? If you think of justice. Good guys. I think of superheroes, right? You talk about Batman and Superman, and they're doing justice.
Oh, and God wants us to act like superheroes.
God wants us to act like superheroes, yeah.
And people that don't care about God and stuff act like a superhero and make them.
Okay, so show God to other people, that's one part. But doing justice means that we're making things more fair for everyone. When you think of justice, and we're going to say this in our prayer at the end, you can hold up your two hands like a scale, and the scale should be the same on both ends. Yeah, exactly. Okay? Now, the other ones we probably heard of, what about love-kindness? What do you think that...
Love-kindness?
Mm-hmm.
Love-kindness?
Yeah.
Are the same thing.
Okay.
They both mean be nice.
Yeah. Be nice, exactly right. Love kindness, being nice, loving everyone that you come into contact with, exactly right. So when we say that one, we can make a heart. Can you make a heart? Okay, Silas, what do we do for do justice? What's the symbol? That's love kindness. What was the first one? Remember, it's like making everything equal for everyone. So yeah, do justice, love kindness, and what was the third part that God wants from you? This one's the toughest one. Walk humbly with your God. What do you think that means? Ethan, do you know what the word humble means?
Do
stuff with God, like Ethan was saying, pray earlier. Yeah, definitely. What does humble mean, though? It's a tough word. Humble means when you do things that are helping people, you don't brag about it. And you live your whole life and you don't really brag. You kind of keep your head down and you do what God wants you to do, but
you bragged
a little. Everyone's bragged a little bit.
Well,
but
more than a little.
More than a little. Well, when we do things because we love God and we want to show that love to other people. Instead of bragging about it, that's what God asks us to do. Walk humbly with God and just kind of do what God wants us to do because it's the right thing to do, not because it'll make us look good. Okay? So when we say walk humbly with God, we're gonna hold out like a bowl, like we're serving someone.
Like loving kindness.
Mm-hmm. Here, so let's do the whole thing. Ready? What does the Lord require of you? To do justice.
Love kindness. Love-kindness and to walk with God.
Walk humbly with your God. Exactly right. Okay, will you pray with me? Dear God,
help us to do justice.
Love-kindness. And walk humbly with you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. We don't have children's church today, so you can go back and sit down, or you can go back to the nursery.
Our question today comes not only from a human being, but also from a presence of great despair and unsettledness. So the question that comes from the mouth of the man is to be explored as one that comes from the depths of pain. So let us hear this passage. It picks up after Jesus has just quieted the waters when the disciples have been afraid that they were going to drown, and now they are coming to shore, and we hear this story. They sailed to the regions of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained head and foot and kept under guard, this man had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. A word from the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now, O Lord, may the meditations and words of all of our mouths and hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I used to meet with a wonderful friends, a group of clergy. We would gather once a week and talk about the scripture for the 2 weeks out. That was when I was up in Ohio. And now I miss those guys and women sometimes, but they always had a question that came to me for thinking about this sermon. And often the question was, as we talked about any scripture, was, how will this story lead you to be who God is calling you to be? How does this scripture guide us to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ? So as we hear this question, and remember what one woman who wrote, Debbie Thomas, she's a youth director at the Church of the Disciples in São Paulo, California, but she has given a little more graphic image of what happens for this man. He haunts the places of the dead. Every night, the townspeople hear him shrieking amongst the tombs. When they're quick enough, they catch him, wrap his wrists and ankles in chains, and haul his naked body, securely shackled, back into town. But there's no containing the crazy. He escapes each time. Trailing broken chains behind him, he wanders the wilds, tearing at his skin until it bleeds, trading one kind of pain for another. If he has a name, no one knows it. If he has a history, no one remembers it. If he has a soul worth saving inside his living corpse, no one sees it. No one looks. Until Jesus does. Until Jesus looks into the face of this bewildered, possessed, distraught man of all kinds of demons, looks into his eyes. Debbie Thomas goes on to say just a little bit. She says, "I worry that focusing on the stranger parts of the story prevents us from seeing how it can be our story, from seeing how it relates to us here and now." So indulge me, please, as she sidesteps the tough stuff and shares why she is haunted by the healing of the Gerasene demoniac, why his encounter with Jesus makes her gasp and squirm, smile and cry, linger and recoil, repent and return. How is this story our story? How do we relate to the confusion and the perplexed and the drivenness of this man? We know that he is driven, and that if the demoniac is allowed to be who it is, that he will rail in the face of Jesus because the demoniac does not want to be possessed by the holy, to be confronted by the sacred, to be cast out into a place where there is no name. But as the man bows before Jesus, and as Jesus lets the demoniac go into the pigs instead of the abyss, the man is left lifeless. And Jesus says again, to you and to me, what is your name? What has possessed you in a way that has overcome your spirit with senses of pride or misgivings, with sense of blame or hate, with sense of fear or inability to stand strong in the name of Jesus? There was this wonderful pastor Thursday at the luncheon who said we bow at the feet of Christ so that we can stand before the throne of God. We bow to give up our sins, to let ourselves be cleansed by the loving grace of Jesus Christ, so that we might stand guilt-free, unpossessed, dispossessed of that sense of what culture calls good and what God calls grace. The demoniac is not only a sense of evil and power that Jesus had to deal with in the olden days. There are struggles we have at being possessed and concerned around things that divulge our attention from being trusting and responsive to God. What is your name? Jesus asked when he first encounters the possessed man. The man approached Jesus not really to ask for help, but hopefully to push Jesus away. Maybe to try to even scare Jesus to not confronting him. In all likelihood, being possessed made this man violent. But Jesus asked for his name anyway. And by doing so, he began to recall the broken man to himself. When someone says your name, are you not taken in possession in conversation with them? Are you not caught up in a relationship that is more meaningful than someone that just walks by you and says, hey, how you doing? And goes on without even waiting for an answer. I remember a story from a friend of mine who was working as a chaplain in a community retirement center, and she met with a lot of the people, and then one day they all came, or some of them came for a service on a Sunday, and there was this time that she asked for anyone who wanted to ask for prayer, and the woman who she had visited, Angela was her name, was flailing and not, she had not had a reputation for being able to speak. She did not talk to anyone, but Kim, my friend, the chaplain, had gone to see her anyway. And the woman was so disturbed, and she could not get anything pronounced. She could not verbalize anything at the time. And the people knew that that was her general personality. But when it came time for the prayer, and after they were able to quiet her just a bit, Kim prayed for Angela. And as that group left that day, and as Angela left in her wheelchair, and as Kim was shaking their hands, she grasped Kim's hand and pulled her down so that she could say, thank you for praying for me. The woman had not spoken an articulate sentence for years, but she heard her name. Thank you for praying for me. When we pray for one another, when we say each other's names, when we declare that we are not necessarily worthy but able because of the grace of God to stand at God's feet, then we renounce the evil that operates in us. We renounce the culture that vies for our attention in ways that lead us to do harmful things. Let us say one another's name in love, in trust, in faithfulness, that God has a greater call for us than what is typically seen in the lives of these days. One more small story that is just a piece that came from the scripture and also the one that was written in relation to today, and it is a helpful one for me because I know I tend to focus on another piece, but let me share it. It was from one of the Reformation writers in the early 1700s, but he said this: "The image of a sweet, gentle Savior, like the thought of an all-loving God, is wonderful, but it is only a small part of the picture. It insulates us from the real power of Christ's touch. Christ comforts and heals, saves and forgives. We know that. But we must not forget that Jesus judges too. If we truly love the Christ, then we will love everything in him, not only his compassion and mercy, but his sharpness too. It is his sharpness that prunes and heals." The story ends with Jesus commissioning the healed man to stay where he is and serve as a missionary to his townspeople, the same townspeople who feared, shunned, trapped, and shackled him for years. Isn't this just like Jesus? To ask us to go back into that circle that has haunted us, to go back into that circle of people who have said things behind our backs that would not be very uplifting. Sometimes they say them right to our face and it hurts us. But Jesus asks us to go and return because we have been pruned, we have been healed, we are a free people. And in going to those places that are most difficult, we do image the love of Jesus Christ. We do image the love of Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We do image the love of what God calls the kingdom to be here in this time and place. Is it easy? Never has been. Are there times of joy and celebration and uplifting and rejoicing? Absolutely. We need those times to keep us balanced. And we need those times to confront the evil within ourselves, to be able to confess again because we have succumbed to its lethargy, its empathy, and sometimes its action of evil. We can only be accountable for ourselves. But I think it's kind of interesting. Graham didn't have any idea what my sermon looked like. Poor guy didn't know what I was going to sing at the Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. But he called forth for us those basic elements: love, kindness, walk humbly, and seek justice. It's just that simple, and it's just that hard. Amen.
The voice you hear is not coming from the heavens, nor is it coming from the elephant or the zebra I hear see on the screen, but it's just a lowly voice behind the screen. Thank you, Pastor Lynn, for that word from the Lord. And, you know, the scripture says there is neither any salvation in any other name under heaven among men than the name of Jesus, where the name we must be saved. Whereas he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We have a great Savior. And he gives us so much. He gives himself. Truth and beauty and happiness, it's all in the name of Jesus. Heaven and health, peace and rest, it's all in the name of Jesus. joy and gladness, forgiveness to life everlasting and free. All that I've longed for and all that I need, it's all in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, He's here and He will show you the way. Jesus, Jesus, He's all that you need today. Care and comfort, healing and grace, it's all in the name of Jesus. Welcome, pardon, a hiding place, it's all in the name of Jesus. Warmth and sunshine, friendship true, fulfillment and blessing untold. Hope for tomorrow and hope for today, it's all in the name of Jesus.
As we come to this time of praying together and naming our brothers and sisters, I invite you to share those that are utmost in your heart, whether they be joys or concerns, things that we want to lay at the feet of God now. Do you have prayer concerns or joys? Usually the choir, yes. Good, Sherry. What? Prayers for Chris Wooten,
Trooper
Chris Wooten, who has been injured in an accident and is paralyzed. Elizabeth, yes. Thank you, Elizabeth. Yes, FD.
Got two. One.
You got?
Two. Our granddaughter, Gracie, which is our son, Dee, has been out in Montana this past week skating for the national championship. She flies home this afternoon with the gold medal.
Wow.
Congratulations to all your family and Dee Dee especially. Hallelujah. Yes?
Cody has taken a turn backwards and needs our prayers.
Bev just shared that Cody has had a relapse and is not doing very well, so we want to pray for Cody and his sense of letting Jesus hear his name. He's struggling very, very deeply with life. We also know that Dan McClure is struggling with life right now. He had a massive stroke and is in the hospital. So they are watching and assessing and not very hopeful for this life. And we want to pray for Connie Stroop, who has some medical concerns, and we will hold her and her name in our prayers as we pray. Also, I think you've seen that Carolyn Young has moved to Huntersville Oaks, and she is doing well and receiving therapy, and welcomes your calls and cards.
Lynn.
Yes. Tracy Lynn has a spot on, and they will do more extensive study for that. Pauline Harper, yes, I was trying to point to where she sits. Pauline Harper is having knee replacement surgery tomorrow, so we want to pray for Pauline as well. Let us be aware of God's presence. We come, O God, in the gift of this beautiful day, this morning when sun has risen to warm your earth on our part of Charlotte, North Carolina, and realize that you are omnipotent and omnipresent and all-knowing of everything we have declared. And we lay at your feet a mixed set of concerns and celebrations, a sense of hopefulness and a sense of grief, all tied up in one huge bundle. And we know that you are aware of each of the names of the persons we have spoken for and people to whom we give witness and issue our love. We pray for Cody and for Aiden and for Bev in their care and for Tanya and Dan as they are all concerned, as are each one of us, for Cody's sense of self-esteem and his recovery of the joy and innocence and energy that we know is in him. Call his name, O God. And for Tracy Lynn, who is awaiting other test results and is concerned about a mass that they have found, a spot. So we want her to know that we are calling her name now and that you are listening. We pray for Tracy Lynn. We know that Connie Stroop has medical concerns, and as she is going into this week, we ask for your presence and your support in her sense of care and good decision making. We pray for Connie Stroop. We know that as others face surgery this week, like Pauline, and others are continuing in recoveries, like Carolyn and like Pat and like Joyce and those others of us that are on healing paths, we rejoice in that. Thank you for calling our names. We know that you live through us and you call us to reach out for one another, and that you teach us each day that we are made in your image and called to be brothers and sisters. For all those persons that we have not spoken their names, and for ones I have forgotten, and others who need your loving care, we pray in the name of your Son, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to use this moment for mission to let everyone know about the wonderful mission work our youth have done this month. Earlier this month, we brought back the Youth Local Mission Week. So over the course of 2 weeks, every other day, the Youth of Cooks participated in five different mission opportunities. We started on Tuesday, July 11th, we traveled to a local park and picked up trash along the paths. On Thursday night, we went to White Oak Manor in South Charlotte and helped facilitate bingo. On Saturday, we traveled to a local creek and assisted the Charlotte Stormwater Service in their monthly creek cleanup. The following Monday, Cook's Youth delivered meals to two different routes through Friendship Trays of Charlotte. And finally, on Wednesday, we visited First Baptist of Huntersville and gave our time to their Lydia's Loft Ministry, sorting donated clothes. I cannot tell you how proud I am of the youth of this church and their willingness to serve our community with such passion and hardly any complaining. Again, we took example from the Presbyterian women and the men of the church and all the service that they do. And Cook's youth are always looking for opportunities to serve, and we're able to complete these mission projects and show God's love to others. Thank you.
Let's continue in our worship as we receive our tithes and offerings. Dear Lord, help us to look to you for guidance on how best to serve your people. Help us to be courageous as we respond, change, and grow. Help us to be faithful as you always are faithful. We thank you in advance for all that you will do in and through us this day. Amen.
Thank you.
And now the work of our worship begins. Let us go out into this world, into this beautiful day, into this promising community in the peace of God. Let us go out knowing that we are cleansed of our sins. We are ready. We have heard our name called, and God has commissioned us to go and be the light of the world. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and this communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore.
Amen.